Hello, Sister Saints, Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, today I thought we'd talk about the letter versus spirit, and this came up because a sister mentioned something. Well, I'll just tell you what, sisters are always coming up with all kinds of conversations and different things in God's word and applications to our lives. And so this a sister mentioned something today, and it sparked a conversation with Brother James and I, and I thought, hey, I want to do an audio on this and help us through letter versus spirit and some of the applications in our life. And I don't want to be teaching specifically doctrine on what the letter and the spirit is. I just want to kind of generalize it and then get to the applications and some examples. So we sisters know that the letter would be the word of God that I'm talking about here. God's word. When we read it, we follow it, we obey it, we do what it says. So we're going to dress biblically. We're going to submit to our husbands. We're going to change our character and nature from a worldly carnal woman to a godly biblical woman. We're going to keep ourselves unspotted, and we're going to not set anything vile before our eyes. And within our world, we're going to try to conduct ourselves in an obedient manner to God. And in the spirit of all that, there could come some circumstances that make us wonder if what we have to do would be sinful or not. And that would kind of be letter versus spirit. So anyway, let me read Luke 14, 1 through 5, and let God's word give you the example of letter versus spirit, and I won't be teaching on it. You'll just see it through this. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And he answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an oxen fall into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And so we see letter of not supposed to be doing things on the Sabbath, and the spirit. And what would happen if we didn't do the spirit in this case and just followed the letter? The ox or the ass would, or the oxen would die, or possibly. And so you see the difference between the letter and the spirit. We're going to obey, but there may be times that we have to evaluate a situation and see if what we do is sinful or if it's for the betterment of the person that we're dealing with. So anyway, I'm going to move on to the examples. So let's use a couple examples that I know for sure. It's like grandchildren. So I'm going to use a couple examples about grandchildren. So your grandchildren come to visit, and say you are the born-again believer and your family and your children aren't. Whatever it is that they claim, whether they claim Christ, whether they're disobedient, whether they don't claim anything, whether they don't know, maybe they're seekers, maybe they're not. Whatever it is, they're just not living their lives fully biblical to the Lord. But you're a shining light right there. So they come and they want you to watch your grandchildren for the weekend because maybe they're going to have another baby or something's up. And you get to spend time with your grandchildren and impart the things of God to them. So they walk in your door and they have worldly carnal clothes on. And you're going to be watching them for the weekend and maybe washing those worldly carnal clothes and putting them clothes back on the children. So in the letter, and God's word would say, if you had children today and you were raising them, you would never put clothing like that on them. Are you in sin if you dress your grandchildren with the clothing that they have or wash their clothing? Or say you've got a husband in that situation and you're washing and taking care of his clothing. That's not biblical. The letter says you wouldn't do that if it was in your care, your children. But the spirit is, this is not your child. They need to have clothing. You are not in sin for that. Now, let's look at reading some books. Say they brought some books with them. And we've had this situation too. And I'll tell you what, sisters, those of you with children know that it's really hard to find biblical books out there for teaching. And so what I would do with them is they would have a great big bag of them. And I kind of sort through and they weren't paying attention and pull some and set some aside that I really didn't want to even deal with. And then there were some of them that they weren't really bad, but they weren't biblical. And I would never buy them for my grandchildren, or if I had children, I'd never buy them for them or read them. So there I would be obedient to God's word. But in this situation, the spirit, they have those books there. What can I do in the situation? Because some of it's out of control. I'm a servant. I'm just a helper here. They're not in under my control and authority. So when they bring those books to me and I've sorted through them, I can go, well, this one has evolution in it. And I'm going to read them God's word. I'm going to read what it says, and then I'm going to teach them how they got to be careful and be wise and discern such things as they grow up. And I'm going to read about Genesis 1, where God created the heavens and the earth. And I'm going to explain that to them. And as we go through the book and you see things that might be unbiblical, I'm going to explain to them what is biblical. And maybe the parents are sitting there too, and they're going to hear how you have not shunned them because I can't touch that, because that I wouldn't buy that, and I would never use that. What they see is you have just, in the spirit, overlooked some of that. You're not in sin. You have redeemed it for the good cause to share the gospel with them, to shine the light of Christ with them and anybody who might be listening. And so let's look at another example. Say you're married to a man in the same situation. He's not obedient to the word, whatever the case may be. And he wants to listen to the word of God. And it's being read by a worldly, carnal man who might claim a faith in Christ or something. And you know this person and you're like, oh, that's mixing the holy and the profane. And the word of God would tell us, well, we don't do that. I would never turn it on and listen to it myself. But the spirit would tell us, if somebody's seeking and wanting to hear the word of God and they chose that, would you be in sin if they wanted you, your husband, to sit with them and listen to them about it? If they were just speaking the word of God, you would not be in sin if you were to sit there. Now, if that was me in the situation, I would explain it to my husband, the whole situation, and say, well, maybe there might be somebody else that we could listen to on this. But I got news for you, sisters. We don't know these people who are reading the word of God. They could be unbiblical Baptists reading it. So does it, I guess, I don't want to dig too far in there, but we got to kind of think about that. You know, a lot of us sisters, I don't really listen to it because I read it and Brother James and I are always busy, but a lot of sisters turn on the Word of God and listen to it, and they have no clue who it is that's reading it. It could be an atheist that just got paid to do it. I don't know. So it's not necessarily the letter of that. It's the spirit. So the spirit would be, if your children came in and they were playing the audio Bible online and you're like, oh, I know who that is, you wouldn't want to say, hey, turn that off. I know that person who's reading the Bible is unbiblical. You might want to share and use that to share some truth with them and allow them to listen to it. And so that would be letter and spirit. So you see what I'm trying to get at is, we do what we do in our lives and be obedient to the Lord. And some of these, we do things, but we're not in sin. Let's use work for an example. And say I had to get a job at Walmart, and I was working in the deli, and there's 8 or 10 women working in there, and I see no visible fruit of a born-again believer in there. Some claim Christ, some don't, whatever. So we're just going about our business. I'm serving customers. I've already given everybody the gospel. They know I don't practice pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter. They know I dress biblical because they can see it. And I don't have worldly carnal conversations coming out of my mouth, but I can talk to them about the weather, maybe some things that are going on, household things, family things, whatever it is. But the letter of God's word says that if somebody claims Christ, that we're supposed to warn them of their sins and separate. I want to interject this in here. We see that being told to believers who are in a body, a fellowship, and they see the fruit of these people. They're united with them. They see born-again believers walking in the things of God, and one of them goes in sin. Big difference from those who are claiming Christ and show no fruit of, they're ignorant, they're blind, they don't know, they don't understand. There's a gray area there that I don't want to get into right now. But what I want to say is, in this example, say I go into the lunchroom, and all 10 of them are in there, and we're all sitting at the table, and we're eating, and a couple of them who go to church or something, or maybe they're Baptist, Methodist, Lutherans, whatever they are, and they're eating. Am I in sin to sit at the same table and eat with them? I'm not in sin. Because I'm there for my job. It's not a spiritual thing. And I am in the midst. See, Jesus said, I'm going to send you forth as sheep among wolves. So we're to go into the wolves. Well, obviously with care, which I mean is the world. We're not supposed to hide from the world. We're not supposed to sanitize our world to where there's absolutely no sin around us, because then we have to leave ourselves from the world. We're to go in and shine that light. So I'm in that lunchroom with all different kinds of women. And some claim, some don't. And I'm going to shine my light. I'm going to be who I am. And if I hear a spiritual conversation, I can speak up and defend the truth, help and share with them. If they allow me to be who I am, I'm not in sin. I can have a conversation with the Baptist woman that I work with. I'm not in sin on that. Now, the Spirit says you're supposed to warn and separate, but we have to be very careful on that. Now, if one of those women says, all right, that's it. I don't want to hear it. I want nothing to do with you. Stop talking to me about the things of God. Well, obviously, you see the separation there. So there are certain instances and circumstances that we sisters may be in because we're servants, we're helpers, especially wives with husbands who are not fully serving the Lord, not showing the fruit of a born-again believer. We don't sin, but we learn to discern the letter versus the spirit. There are some sisters who live in households with younger, like they're older women, and they're being taken care of by their younger grown children. You know, that like in their 70s, the women are in their 70s or so, and the children are in their 50s or whatever. And these women are in situations, they do the best they can to be obedient, but they're in some of these situations that I've told you about. And so they are not in sin. They are just a light in the world. There's some women who are servants to other families. They're nannies, and they have to do all these things. They're regardless of whether the family members claim Christ or not, if you are not walking with true born-again believers within your life, those who are outside, there's the letter and the spirit that we need to learn how to carefully discern in there. And hopefully I'm making some sense on this. So let me give you another, go into a little bit more situation. So you've got a sister living in a household, and the people are claiming to be of Christ, but they don't, they're like that Baptist woman I told you. Or maybe they do some holiness type things, but they're not. They're ignorant. They're blind. They're, like Paul says, he was in his ignorance. He thought he was doing right and he wasn't. And they've been given the gospel, and they haven't heeded to the word or whatever. You don't totally cut off association with that and try to hide or anything. We know some older sisters who are under the care of their younger children, and they've had to deal with these situations, and some younger ones too. So what you do is you just continue to shine your light. And if these people know you after a while, they're going to know you do not participate in any of that. You are already called out and separated. You are obedient in your life, and you're just in amongst everybody shining your light and being a worker of the Lord, and that way they can see what is biblical and maybe be convicted of what is not. And by being in these situations with the grandchildren, with the husband or somebody who wants to listen to the Word of God, with unbelievers, believer or people who claim Christ but they don't show any fruit of it, those people are the world. And those are the ones Paul said that we would have to leave. Because if we try to keep all the sin out of our life to where we didn't have to accidentally see something or deal with it, we're sanitized and we're useless. We're not salt in amongst the world. And we're supposed to be workers and soldiers. You know, we have our Ephesians 6 armor to put on. We can blast right through this world. Brother James shared that with an Amish man the other day. The Amish man looked at his phone and he said, that's a tool of the devil. I would never be able to trust myself with that. And Brother James said, you're not supposed to be trusting yourself. You're supposed to be trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I can walk through this world. He said, I could go to a bar and witness to somebody and it will not defile me. Now, we don't propose going into those places. He was giving an extreme example because the Anabaptists, they're like, whoa, I don't think they'd even want to set foot in one, many of them that we run into. He's giving an extreme example of the power of the Holy Spirit that you can go through this world and be strong and not be defiled with it. So if you were reading one of those little books to your granddaughter, and it had a little girl in there with pants on, you're not defiled because you saw that picture. You're not defiled because you were reading about that and sharing the words of God. You're not defiled by that. I'm not defiled when we're out on the street and there is half-naked women and men walking around. When I say that, you all know what I'm talking about when you go to town and what it looks like. It is, and some of these places we go in the towns that they have, it's even utter wickedness. And so I'm not defiled by that. I didn't set that before my eyes. I went out and my purpose, see, here's it, with the Spirit. What is the purpose of all this? And look at Rahab. What was her purpose? She lied. The letter says that you shouldn't lie. But the Spirit was, she saved a life. So the letter in our life says we do not sin and put anything before our eyes like that in these situations that I'm explaining to you. And being in the world and in among people. We're not in sin, if, what is it? The letter and the spirit, sisters. The spirit is that we're trying to reach these people. We're not joining in their sin. We're not doing anything sinful with them. We've kept our lives spotless, but we're shining the light through that. And that's what the letter versus the spirit is. And I don't know, I'm thinking, I really hope that I tried to explain this all. I'm going to end this right here and let you go, sisters. Before I do that, I'm going to read this. Okay, I wanted to read Matthew 15, verse 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. So, sisters, if you are godly and holy in your life, in every way that you can be, and everything under your control, what comes out of you shows what's on the inside. So, if you're following the commands and the obedience of God's word, and you find yourself in some of these situations, and you're doing the best that you can, you're not in sin if you're redeeming them, because what's coming out of you is all to shine the light of Christ to these people and being among them and helping them instead of running and hiding your light under a basket. We don't want to do that. So anyway, I'm going to let you go because I could probably talk in circles and then wonder what it was if I explained it all. So love to you, Sister Saints. Hold fast and I'll listen to this. And if I have to explain something a little better, I'll just do another audio on it. So anyway, thanks for listening. I hope somebody's been edified on this and hopefully it helps clear up some of the situations. And if you have any questions or something, just let me know and I'll do my best to clarify. All right. Love to you, sisters. Hold fast. May God be praised.